Begin the current daf and set this need daf chavav. Begin on the bottom line of chafei and beis, where the gemara continues in the theme of questioning, which we had in the previous daf. We mentioned in our previous mishnah regarding if a woman's mapelas a sandal, which is a deformed child where the face gets like turned around because of another child, another fetus, another embryo that pushes and deforms that sandal. It's still considered a child. We don't necessarily know the gender, but it's going to be therefore be teisha lezach nekeva. So the gemara asked, so what's the utility of saying that you have to have a halacha of tumas yeledes because of the sandal if you're saying that the whole element of a sandal is that there's another child? So obviously that if there's another child, then you have to have tumas yeledes for that. So that the gemara addressed that, what would be the relevancy? Now that the gemara continues and says that we have similar types of questioning in the context of sandal in other areas of halacha. Sandal is none, as we continue to have of Chavav Men Aleph, Gabi Bechairis, we have Allah that says in Bechairis of Menvav Men Aleph, where the Mishnah tells us that if a woman's Ma'pelas a sandal, she miscarries a sandal. So the child that comes after the sandal will be the Bechair for the laws of inheritance, because the sandal is not considered a child that a father mourns over when he passes away. And Bechair has to be for someone that has that status. So the second child will be the firstborn in that regard, but he won't be the Bechair for the laws of Kayin, because ultimately the sandal was the pet Erechim. He was the first one to open up the womb, which is the criterion for the laws of Bechair for Kahana. So says the Gemara, Lamai Hilchasa, for what halachic relevancy is that? Because says the Gemara's assumption right now is that when we're talking about the child that comes after the sandal, it means a child that's conceived and born a year later or 2 years later. So that's the question. Why do you need to say regarding the sandal? Even without the sandal, the next child will be exempt simply because of the other child that comes out at the same time as the sandal. So the child, of course, that comes a year or two later is not going to be bechir for the kain. Well, why do you have to say because of the sandal? That says the Gemara, no, Laba Acharov. The reason why we mentioned the sandal means to say that other child that is in the womb at the same time as the sandal is the one that comes out after the sandal. He'll be Bechair L'Nachlav, and Bechair L'Kayin. He'll be the Bechair for the laws of inheritance, but he won't be the Bechair for the Kayin, although he came out a few minutes later, he's there together in the womb, but he wasn't the first one out, and the sandal will exempt him from the laws of Bechair for the Kayin. Similarly, the Gemara asks, sandal that's not Gabi Krisis. Laws of a sandal regarding that we learned in Masechtas Krisis in the first part of Sayyim Abayz regarding the obligation of a carbon, of a yeledes, a woman who gives birth. Says Gemara, Lamai Hilchasa, for what halachic relevancy are you saying that she has to bring a carbon? It should be because of the child that's in there in the womb that's going to come out also at the same time as the sandal. That itself obligates her for a carbon. Why do you have to say based on the sandal? Says the Gemara, Shim Teled Vlad Derechtef, and the difference is because, yes, there's the sandal, and then there's the viable, healthy child. If the regular child comes through the abdominal wall, through some type of operation called cesarean, then that doesn't obligate the woman in the carbon of yeledes, as the pasuk says regarding the carbon of Vayikra Yidbeis, as Isha Kisa Zri of Yolda Zachar, which tells us until the leida, the birth, is from the place where there's mazras, which is through the vaginal canal. So therefore, that wouldn't obligate her in the carbon. But the sandal, derech rechem, the sandal was born through the vaginal canal, through the normal birthing. The maisti carbon, a sandal, that the obligation of the carbon is going to be simply because of the sandal. So you're right, there's another child there. But the obligation of the carbon, we have to tell you, is for a sandal too. But then the Gemara says, but Reb Shimon, the Amar, according to Reb Shimon, that he says later on, he says that a baby born through cesarean is considered a bona fide birth of a child. So my claim, according to him, what are you going to say? Even the other child, even if it was born through cesarean, would obligate in the carbon. So what do you have to say over the increase is that there's obligation for a carbon of a sandal if he enters the Michai because of the other child? So Reb Yirmiyah says the difference, the nafkamina, the relevancy would be, Ishim Talid Vlad, yeah, she gave birth to a child, and even if it would be, let's say, through a cesarean, that wouldn't make a difference. But she gave birth to that viable child, when she was still a non-Jewess. V'sandal achash neskayer, and then the sandal was born after she converted. The maisi carbon, a sandal, as a non-Jewess, she doesn't make a carbon for that regular child. And then the second she converted, right after, is when she gave birth immediately after to the sandal, the obligation would only be for the sandal. Therefore, we have to say that she have a carbon of yeledes for a sandal. Now, however, the Gemara tells us that Amru Rabbanu Kamei Rav Papa. The rabbis said in front of Rav Papa, Umi isnuhu lahani shenoyi? Are these answers that we just gave for the relevancy of sandal, which we were talking about literally right after, right before the viable child, that's in those moments is when it's going to make a difference. Is it really possible to say these types of answers? But Ratanya Linda Bryce says, Kishen Yaitzin, when the sandal that's with the child that's with it, which we said he became his son because that twin or whatever it is that's with him in the uterus is creating his deformity. So when they're both born, says the Braisa, Ein Yotzin Ela Kruchin, they only come out wrapped together, they're tied one with the other. And that's how it actually creates deformity. Now, it doesn't mean literally connected, but they're wrapped around each other. Now, from the fact that they're coming out at the same time, it's not possible that she gave birth to the viable child when she was not Jewish, and then she converted before the tzandl came out. So how does the answers we're saying, rational answers, based on this brayse that we just quoted? So Amar Papi says, no, it's not difficult. Shema mina, actually you could infer from this, from the fact that we said it says the halach of tzandl by krisis regarding Yeledis, which we said for Reb Shimon would only be possible because of her conversion in middle. For example, like we said, if the viable child came out first, and then she converted, and then came out the sandal. And so too we said by Becheiris, we said it has to be talking about that the sandal came out first, as we explained, where then it's going to exempt the child that comes out right after from the laws of the five slum. Now, yet we're learning in the Brice, they come out at the same time. So how do we understand that? So as her papa, obviously you could infer that they're not literally laying one on the other. Because you're right, if that would be the case, it wouldn't be possible to have one coming out before the other. They would be coming out at the same time. Rather, he qualifies, says, this that we said, that keruchin, that they wrap one the other, the way it is that michra karuch levlad l'sandal apalge, is that the viable child is wrapped around the sandal on half, the bottom half of the sandal, where the head of the regular child, which was actually creating the deformity in the sandal, is by the midpoint, by the navel part of the sandal. U'mishal chif le'kalape reshe, and what he does is that the viable child's head is what pushes into the sandal towards the outside. And that's actually, like we said, that slaps the sandal's head backwards. But again, he's only halfway to the height of the sandal in the utero. So therefore, he says as follows. Gabe b'chayris, regarding the law, like we said, of the regarding the laws of the firstborn, that we said that we need to have that the sandal comes out first, and therefore he's exempting the child that comes out right after him from the laws of Bechor for Kayin, is Kugan Shiyatu Derech Rashayim. It's talking about where they're coming out head first, which is the normal type of a birth. The sandal called the Menafik, where we're saying that the sandal, he's halfway higher than the regular Vlad, so he's going to come out first. So that's the case we described. And then, since he came out first, so the second child won't be Bechor for Kayin anymore, because he's not Petarech. And regarding the law of Yeled, this we said, that we're having the viable child come out first, and then the sandal, is because it's a breached birth, where they come out through their feet. The Vlad called them an afik, that the healthy child, who's on the bottom half, he comes out first. And then you could have that gap, where then she converted, you could have that element in between, and because they're not coming out literally at the same time. That's one interpretation. He says, you could even say, as we had thought, that it means exactly. They're literally laying one on the other, not one a little bit lower than the other. They're literally wrapped together. And still it's not going to be difficult because of the epich shmeitza. Actually, you have to invert the teaching, as we had said it from Rav Papa, that he said that by Bechairis it has to be that they're coming out through their heads. He says, no, to the contrary. The way you could answer it is as follows. By the laws of the firstborn, where we're saying that it's going to be a ramification of sandal, is where they're coming out through their feet. Vlad is pechiusa, the healthy child that has vitality, sarach, so he holds on with his hands in the utero, and he's not quick to come out, but enough, it doesn't come out. Sandal the less pechiusa, the sandal that doesn't have vitality, it's not a regular healthy child, sasarach. He just slips v'nafik and he comes out. So therefore, the sandal is going to be coming out first. And therefore, it's going to exempt the next child that's going to come out a little bit later from the laws of Bechor for the Kayin. Got increases by the laws of Yeledis. Shiyotu derech Rishayin. There it's where it's actually coming out head first. Vladis Bechiyusa. So the regular child that has vitality. Medinafik Rishay. So here he's not holding on. They're not coming out through the feet. They're going out head first. And yeah, they're going to be coming out at the same time, but still we're going to have this gap, even though he's saying that they're side by side, of the regular child being born first, and then being able to have conversion before the sandal. Why? Because in the nafik reishe havaleda, by the healthy child, once his head comes out, he's considered born. As the Gemara says in this paragraph of Chav Chesem and Aleph, that once the head comes out, he's considered born. But sandal ad nafik rube, the sandal is not considered born until the majority of his body comes out. Because the head of a nafil, of a stillborn, like a sandal, which is not a viable child, is not considered significant. As the Gemara says, Mechares the Ben Bavim Beis, the head of a nafil does not exempt. And by the time you have the majority of the sandal coming out, she could have already converted and have already immersed herself, and therefore that's how we understand this halacha of the sandal and the vlad not coming out at the same time to have the relevancy regarding the laws, as we said regarding Bechairis, and of Yoledis for a carbon, as we say by Krisis. Now the Gemara continues with the halacha, the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of our parak regarding Hamapelis Chaticha, when a woman miscarries something. We spoke about the shofar, which is the embryo itself. Now the Mishnah says regarding shil yibabais, there's the what's called the afterbirth, the placenta. This is the amniotic sac that the child is in. So if that sac is in the babais in the house, so habayis tame. The house is tame because of oil ames. It's the tent where there's a dead person over here, because there was a child over here. It just died. And the sign of that is the afterbirth, this sac. Now, as the Mishnah explains, Loisha Shilya Vlad, it's not that because the sac itself is a child. Elisha ain't Shilya Bale Vlad. It's just that we know that there's no sac without a child. If there is a sac, there must have been a child. So there is a dead child over here, although we might not see it. And therefore, there's going to be a tumas oil over here to make whatever's in the oil tummy. Shimonami, he says, no. Nimaka Vlad ad Shilya Yatsa. The child already dissolved before it came out of the woman, and it already turned into blood inside the woman, and the blood of the child then got mixed into the blood that comes from childbirth, which doesn't have a tum of a mess, and therefore becomes nullified in the majority of the blood of Leda, and actually it's not going to make tumma in the oil, because it already was nullified in the woman, in the blood, and therefore it's not going to have a tum of oil mess. Now, Tanaman learned in the Braisa that Shilya, this afterbirth, tchilasa doim alechut shel erev, its initial part is comparable to the thread of the woof, which is the thicker type of thread. The saifa and its end, which means to say that as it comes to the wider part, or actually as we have other girsais that say that it's toma v'reisha, which is yet the wider part, which is it's the head part, is doim alechuturma, is similar to a lupin, which is a type of a bean, a pea, from the pea family, and it's hollow like a trumpet, and you don't have an afterbirth that's less than a tefach. It has to have that measurement, to have the halacha bar mishnah, which we said, okay, then we know that it's considered a shilya, and that it had a child inside, and therefore it's going to have a tumah of oil mess. Reb Shimon Gamliel, he says, shilya demi lekukav and shel tarn legoilin, this afterbirth, this placenta is similar to the gizzard of a chicken. Shadak and Yitzmena, where you have the intestines coming out, which that could be similar to the placenta, which has the umbilical cord coming out, which gives the nourishment to the fetus inside the womb. So Tanya Rabbi Yishai is the ira demin chavraya. So Rabbi Yishai, the smallest of all the colleagues, he taught the following brayse. It says, Chamisha shurin tefach. There's five things that the measurement is a tefach. Be'elohim, and they are shilya, the placenta, shayfer, the shayfer, shedra, the spine, doifin sukkah, the wall of the sukkah, vaizav, and the hyssop, which is a type of a herb. So the Gemara explains, shilya hadamaran, the afterbirth is like we just explained, that for it to be considered, shilya has to have the shir of a tefach. Shayfer is the tanag luna breisa. Kami he shir shayfer, how much does the minimum measurement of a shayfer have to be? Pirashim shim gamliel is kadeshi echazen be yodoi, so that one could hold it in his hand. The yir lakan lakan, that you'll see it on either side of his hand, where the either ends of the shayfer are going to be visible, which is tefach, the shayfer tefach, because holding it with one's hand is not exactly a tefach, because a tefach is not just four fingers, which is what holds it, and then you have the thumb on the other side, but rather it's four fingers of what a geidel would be, which is the thumbs, like four thumbs. His four regular fingers are not going to be that size, so his hand will hold it and be able to see on either side is the shear of a tefach. And shidrimahi, what's the halacha of the spine being a tefach? It's Amr Parnach, Amr Reb Yechon, who says, Shidur Shal Lulav, the spine of the Lulav, Tzarech Shehe Yetzim in a Hadas Tefach, has to go out higher than the Hadassim, when you're holding them all together, the shear of a Tefach. besides the length of the leaves, because the shedra, the spine of the lulav, is as long as the leaves are all going up and they're connected together, as one would see on the lulav in the spine. And then once the spine ends, that's when the leaves start coming out individually. That, so the spine part of the lulav has to be higher than the hadasim and the arabis that you're holding beneath it, the sheva tefach. Devin sukkah, the wall of the sukkah at the time, like Luna Braisa. Shtaim kelchasin, although a sukkah should have four walls, what the minimum measurement could be, says the Braisa, shtaim kelchasin, you could have two regular walls, and shlisha sevel tefach, the third wall could even be the size of a tefach. And Eza, what's the halach of Eza? The Tan Rebchir taught a Braisa, Eza of tefach, the hyssop, which have certain laws regarding purification, like we have by the Paraduma, the hyssop has to have the shear of a tefach. Amr Bchanina bar Papa, he says, Darash shila ish kfar tamarta. Shila, the person from the village of Tamarta, he said, the Tlas Masnita, you have three braises, for Tarti Shmaitse, and you have two Amorok teachings that tell us Shiur Tefach, that the Shia has to be a Tefach. Says the Gemara, Tarti, two? Chadahi, there's only one. The only one Amorok teaching was that of the Shir of the Shedra of the Lulav that Rabbi Yechanan said. So it's four and one, not three and two. So Mabaye says, no, don't say Tani Reb Chiya. Reb Chiya taught a Braisa that the Ezev has to be a Tefach, which that would sound like it's a Braisa. Rather, Ema say, Am Reb Chiya, Reb Chiya said, which that Ezev Tefach, which he said on his own, because Reb Chiya on the one hand was a Tana, but he was also an Amayra, where when he said it on his own, that was a Memra, that was a Amoraic teaching, a Shmaitza, and therefore, yes, it's three and two, three Braises and two Amoraic teachings. Says Gemara Vesulekas, that's it, there's no other halachas that require measurement of a Tefach besides these five? But Veika, you have a Mishnah Masechtas Alos that says regarding a small oil, a very small tent, enclosed area, which is tefach al tefach al rum tefach. You have a tefach squared by a height of a tefach, meruba that's squared. So maybe as a tumah. So that would bring on tumah. So if let's say you have an olive-sized piece of a dead person on one side of this small oil, and you have a vessel on the other side, so the vessel would become tumah because it's in the oil ames. And also, v'chaitzis b'fnei tumah, would also interpose in front of tumah. So if let's say you have something that's tummy underneath this oil, and you have a vessel on top of it, the vessel would be tar. And again, that's why actually has to tell us that it has a height of a tefach, because actually if its space was less than a height of a tefach, that would be known as what's called tumah ritzutza, which is tight, which is encroached tumah, which actually then the halacha would be that the tumah actually goes up to the sky, even though there's something on top of it, and everything on top would be tameh, as the Gemara says in Chol Nafka Chavav Madalv. So therefore, it would not be chaytzeh b'fnei tameh. And also regarding bringing on tameh, it also wouldn't bring, because it wouldn't be considered oil if it doesn't have at least a sheir b'tefach. But one thing, you see that this has a halacha b'tefach too. Why don't we mention that too? Says the Gemara, no, tefach kamina. We were only mentioning things that only have one dimension that we're talking about, sheir b'tefach. Tefach al tefach li kamina, two dimensions of a tefach squared that we didn't talk about. And this requires a tefach al tefach. But the Gemara continues asking, "Ma'ika?" But you have a Mishnah Masechtas Kelim that says, "Evan ha'yitim natanar." When you have a rock that's coming out of an oven, which an oven specifically refers to when there's space for two pots, so then that brick that's coming out is the shear of a tefach, which that you see that as we're going to define this as the shear of a yad of like considered an addendum to the oven, you see a shear of a tefach. Ubinakira, which is a smaller type of an oven that is only room for one pot, that shalosh etzbayis, that brick that comes out is the measurement of three finger breadths. That chibur is going to be considered connected and like the oven, because the oven needs to have a yad, a handle, and this oven that's coming out, it's going to be considered like part of the oven itself, which is the shir of a tefach, which means to say that if the oven becomes tummy, the bread on that oven that's coming out would also be considered tummy, because although an oven is not makabel tumah from its outside, but it does convey tumah to other things from its outside, as the Braisa teaches in Teres Kainim. So therefore, its yad, its handle, its addendum, even though there's no airspace on that oven, it's going to be metame. But if it's more than a tefach, then it's already too big, and it would already be destined to be taken away, because it's too big, it wouldn't be considered a yad. But a tefach is going to be considered a yad. So you see something else as a share of a tefach. Says the Gemara, no. Kikar minan, when did we say the things that are five things that require a tefach? Was heichad the batzim a tefach lechazi, where the minimum was a tefach, meaning that if it's less than a tefach, it's not going to be fit for the halachas that they were discussing. But over here, to the contrary, kol shekin the batzim a tefach. Here, for sure, if this yad, if this evan was less than a tefach, yad tanahu, for them for sure it's the yad of a taner. We're actually saying the limit is a tefach. More than that actually would be too big, you would take it away. But it doesn't qualify for things that the minimum measurement has to be a tefach. Here, actually, the maximum is a tefach. But the Gemara continues asking, but Vayikra, but there's still another halacha, the Gittin Tamid Beis. You have Tanuri Banis. You have the ovens of the little girls, where little girls, they would make ovens as play, they play house and they play ovens, where that is a tefach. The Tanya, like we learn in the Mishnah Masechtas Kelim, that says, Tanur Tchilas Arba, oven, its initial status is that of four tfachim. Where if you have an oven that's four tfachim, then it could be mekabel tuma if you already finished making the oven. And for shiyar of dalet, its remnants is also four tfachim. So if let's say a large oven that became tame and then broke, if at least four tfachim remain, it's still going to be tame. That's the remeir. The chachamim, the sages say, b'med v'mrum, when did we say this halacha is begadol, is only by a large oven. But by a small oven, then it has a different halacha. Its initial status of being mekabel tuma is even a minute amount, as long as you finish doing the work. And v'shayar of berubay, and its remnants would be in its majority. Now, as we're going to shortly explain, but the chacham explained that regarding a small oven, the initial shear is a tefach. And on that, they're saying v'shayar and its remnants is, if let's say it breaks, is enough in its majority. So the Gemara in the Chul and the Oyer asks, a majority of a tefach, what's that fit for? So the Gemara actually answers that, no, this Vishayarav is not going on the small oven. It's going on the big oven. And they're saying, the remnants of a large oven is enough with its majority. So on that, the Gemara over there asks, what do you mean, a large oven? But you just said, and they don't seem to be disputing the large oven, that its remnants is with four tefachim, not with its majority. So the Gemara there explains that a four tefachim is specifically talking about an oven that's seven tefachim, where four tefachim is its majority. Here we were saying berubah with its majority would be like an oven that's nine tefachim, where then the majority would have to be more than four tefachim, and yeah, they're not disputing remeir. But v'shiyar of berubah would not be going on the small oven. But one thing says the Gemara of a kamal kolshu, and how much is a minute amount that the chacham are saying by a small oven, it's enough for its initial status to be mekabel tuma, even if it's a minute amount, as long as you finish doing the work. So Rabbi Yani says, tefach. Why? Shekin oisin tanuri banis tefach, because you find the little girls, they make an oven that's a tefach. So therefore, its initial status is a tefach. So you see, there is something else that has a share of a tefach. Says Gemara, yeah, but plukta, but by something that's a dispute, like over here, where Meir does not agree to that share of a tefach, it's only the chachamim, like Kamari. So that we didn't mention. We were mentioning unilateral halachas that a minimum is that of a tefach. So says the Gemara, hash das lahachi, now that you gave that answer, so hanami plukti. So we could also answer the question that we had on Amman Alf in the previous case of the oven, that's also a dispute. Diktani Sefer, because we learned in the Bryce over there at the end, says Amr Bihuda regarding the Yad, regarding the oven that's coming out of the oven, he says, Loyamur Tefach, but they didn't say that the maximum is a tefach, eliminatanu b'lakaisel, only if it's between the oven and the wall. Over there, if it's more than a tefach, yeah, then he says that's what halacha is going to be, that it's going to end up being cut off, because it's getting in the way between the oven and getting close to the wall there on the side, because there's no room over there. So therefore, if it's more than a tefach, it's going to end up being taken away. But if he just says if it's towards the house part, where there's more room over there, then even if it's much bigger, he says it's still going to be considered a yad. So he doesn't agree to the unilateral halacha of being a tefach. So that's another answer why we said, well, we didn't say the halacha, because, not because minimum and maximum, but simply because it's beplukta, it's contingent on machlekes. But the Gemara continues asking on this halacha that we only said five things that the shir is a tefach. But ve'ika mezgeres, tefach, you have the mezgeres, which is by the shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash, where there's a rim that goes around the shulchan, which that was a shir of a tefach. So why don't we say that? Says the Gemara, no, b'dechsivin, something that its measurement is explicit and written in the Torah, like Kamari, that we weren't mentioning. Says the Gemara, but ve'ika kaparis tefach, you have the covering of the Aron of the Ark and the Kodesh Kodeshim, which that was a shir of a tefach. Why don't we mention that? Says the Gemara, no, but kachem, like Kamari, we weren't talking about kachem. Says the Gemara, but vikki, you have a Mishnah Masechtas Eirvin that says, da'i l'kair, it's sufficient for the beam, which regards the laws of a mavli, which is like a dead end, which regarding to be able to have the halachas of making it one, like a b'shus ha'yachid, shiruchav ha'tefach, it's enough that it's with the tefach. So you see, that's something that has a shir ha'tefach. Says the Gemara, no, but d'rabbanon, by a totally rabbinic law like mavli, where its entire mitzvah is rabbinic, like Kamari, that we weren't talking about. Rather, the five things that we're mentioning were things that b'dechsivan v'lo mefarshi shirai. We're talking about things that are written in the Torah, but the measurement wasn't explicit. Those are the things that we mentioned, and we only mentioned those five things, that the shir is a tefach. Now, going back to the halacha of our mission regarding the laws of shilya, of the afterbirth, so Yosef Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta Kamed Rav Kana, B'yosef Kamar, and he was sitting, he was saying in front of Rav Kahana the following halacha. He says, Amar Vida Merav, Kol Shleisha Yom Harishayin. All the first 3 days, so for example, if let's say the woman gave birth to a child, and then the afterbirth came out of the woman within the next 3 days. So Taylan Esashilya Bavlat, so we'll say that this afterbirth was from this child that was born a day or two up till 3 days ago. And what we're trying to say is that we won't suspect that, wait a second, this is coming out 2 days later, 3 days later, maybe there was a different child. No, we don't suspect that it's a different child, because it's normative that within this amount of time that the afterbirth could delay coming out of the woman after the child was born, but not more than 3 days. So therefore, if the child that was born was a boy, she's only going to have the days of Yimei Tuma of a boy. And we won't say that, no, there must have been another afterbirth with this child that got dissolved, and this other afterbirth was actually a different child. No, we say no, it's normal. It's normal for the afterbirth to delay up until 3 days after the birth. So we'll say that this afterbirth is not another child, it's from this first child. But after 3 days, then we're going to suspect for another child. We're going to say maybe there was another child with this one, and there was a female, and therefore actually he's going to have the days of Tuma of not 7 days for the boy that he had, but also 14 days for that of a girl. And even if the first child was also a girl, it's still going to be effective, the suffix that we have from this afterbirth, because we're going to have to now have complications with the Yimei Tahara as a stringency. Because if, let's say, she sees a Ria of Dam 81 days after the day that she had her child, and then she stopped until the 8th day, and then she sees again, as we mentioned, this type of a day in the previous daf. So generally you would say, okay, she's going to be a Shemeres Yaim. She's in the days of Ziva, because 81 days later was her first day, she had Tchilas Nida. Then 7 days that she had her Nida, and then she immerses. The day after is already 8 after that, is already in the 11 days of Ziva. If you see Riyav Dam, you have just Shemeres Yaim, you only have to keep 1 day of Tahara. No, she's not going to be able to be a Shemeres Yaim Keneged Yaim, because you could say that maybe that Shilya was a different child, was a different girl, and there, what now she's seeing day 81 is actually within 80 days of this afterbirth that was born a day or two later, so it's within the 80 days, is Damtar, because you're counting from the Shilya, and maybe now when you see 8 days later, is actually now is Tchilas Nida, and therefore you can't just keep 1 day of Tahar, you have to keep 7 days of Yimei Nida, so therefore that's a complication, because maybe there wasn't a child, and maybe it is Shemeres Yaim, and therefore it's going to be a complication in their calendar. That's the significance that we're saying that, yeah, if it's born after 3 days, then you're going to have to be suspecting that it's already a different child. So if it comes out 5 days later, now you're not going to be sure when 81 days later after the first child, if this is now Tchilas Nida or this is still Yimei Tahara of the Shilya, because maybe it was, even if both are girls, a different girl, thus delaying the Yimei Tahara, creating complications in the calendar. Now, Amar Leiser of Kahana said to Rav Yitzchak, who said over this teaching from Rav, he says, "Oh, Miyomer Rav Hachid, did Rav really say this halacha that you just said over in his name?" But Vama Rav said a different halacha. He said, "Ein avlad misakiv acha chaver klum. A child doesn't delay after his other child. If there's two fetuses in the womb, one does not delay any bit after the other one. They come out right away. So you see that if the shilya comes out later, there's no reason to suspect ever that there's another child there, because if there was another child, the child would have came out right away. So how can you say that after 3 days that then you're going to suspect that it was a different child? If it's another child, it would have came out together." So Ishtak Rabbi Yitzchak was silent. So Amar Rav Kahana said to him, "I have an answer. Dilma Kan, maybe over here where it's only up until 3 days that we're going to say maybe it's the original child, but after that, you're going to say maybe it's another child. Maybe that's benefel. That's by a stillborn. Where there is a delay up until 3 days. Kan beben kayama. But over here we're saying they come out right away is when we're talking about viable children. Viable children come out right away. And therefore, yeah, that's what we're saying, that even after 3 days or 4 days, 5 days, we're never going to suspect that it was another child because it would have came out right away. So Malay, Sir Yitzchak said to him, "At amrit l'shmaitzei de Rav, what you're saying over the statement of Rav, meaning as if you're coming to explain this teaching, beferish amar Rav hachi, Rav explicitly said what you're saying." He said, "Hepila nefel v'ach kachepila shilya, if a woman miscarried a stillborn, and then miscarried an afterbirth, So kol shleisha yamim, and that's what we're saying, our halacha is specifically talking about that a nafel, a stillborn, the kol shleisha yamim telling us that shalom bilvlad. For up until a period of 3 days, you'll say that, okay, it was from that stillborn. That's what this afterbirth is. From that point onward, yeah, it delays for 3 days, but I'm up, not more than that. And up after that, we're going to suspect that it's another child. But Yoldav, she gave birth to a viable child, and then afterwards she miscarries, and afterbirth comes out of her. Even at 10 days later, you're not going to suspect for another viable child because children come out together at the same time. And they come out 10 days later, it obviously is from this child. It was not another child because then it would have came out at the same time. So therefore, that's how it resolves that there's a difference between giving birth to a nafel, to a stillborn, where then it's up until 3 days and afterwards we're going to suspect for another child. Whereas by a vlad, then we're going to say that no, a vlad would come out at the same time. If it didn't, then it's obviously not another child. So even 10 days later, we're not going to suspect for another child. Now, the Gemara tells that relating to this halacha, Shmuel, b'tamidei d'Rav, v'Rav Yehuda, have a yasper. So you have Shmuel, the students of Rav, and Rav Yehuda that was sitting. Chalav azal Rav Yisef, b'reid Rav Menashe, mid'vil. So Rav Yosef, the son of Rav Menashe from Dvil, which is the name of a place, he was coming la'apeyu towards them. Bali va'asi. He was walking hurriedly in a rush towards them. So Amar, so he said, Aslan Gavra, a man is coming to us, that we could ask him a question regarding the stubble of a stalk of wheat, meaning something, a very small question. And he's stumped, and he doesn't know how to answer. He gets stumped by even small questions. In the meantime, then he came to them. So Amar Shmuel, so Shmuel said to Mayam Rav Bishulia, what did Rav say in regards to the laws of the afterbirth? So Amar Hachim Rav says, this is what Rav said. Ein toilenes ashilya, we do not suspend the afterbirth, like we were saying that we could say that it's from that previous child. It says we don't say it ela b'davashal kayama, only something that has vitality, meaning that could have survived if it would have completed its gestation, its pregnancy period. Meaning, it's coming to exclude if, let's say, the woman miscarried something that's not fit to have been created with a soul. For example, let's say it has a thigh in the middle of the body, or it's an underdeveloped body, or it's miscarried something that looks like a behemah chayv oif. So even though it subsequently miscarries in afterbirth, even within 3 days, there you're not going to be saying, like we were saying before regarding the nafel, that up until 3 days, oh, we won't say it's another child, we'll say it's from this nafel. No, you'll suspect it for it to be another child. We're not going to say it's from this. It's because it's not even a davar shel kayama to say that the afterbirth was from that. We'll say the afterbirth had a regular child. So Shailinu Shmuel l'chol tamidei d'Rav. So Shmuel, who was hearing this halacha from him, that he was saying the name of Rav, he asked all the students of Rav who was with him. They said, yes, this is what Rav said. So how the chazil Rav Yehuda bishes, so he gave Rav Yehuda a sour look, that because he said, Rav Yehuda, you heard this, and you didn't tell it to me that this was an important qualification in the previous halacha of Rav. It's not just when you have a nafel that up until 3 days you'll be toila in the nafel. It depends. There's a further qualification that it has to be something that could have survived if it would have gone full term, in contrast to those other things, like when it has a thigh in the middle of the body, that it can't. You won't always be toila in the nafel, even if it's within 3 days. Now, Katir on this theme, Boyimene Rabbi Yisi ben Shalom Rebbe, he asked the following question. A mapelas demus oirif. Someone miscarries something that looks like a raven, like a bird. Vishilya and an afterbirth. Ma, what's the halacha? Do we say that, oh, this afterbirth is from this raven that was miscarried from this woman, and we don't suspect that there was another child? Or do we not? Or we're not being toila in the raven? And we say that, okay, that's the raven. And then this afterbirth, like we said, when there's just an afterbirth, we say that there must have been a child over here. So Amalei said to him, "Ein toilin elo b'davar sheish b'minei shelyo." We do not suspend that the afterbirth is from something, if it's there, only if it's something that in that species has afterbirth. Like a human being, behemoth, a chayis, birds don't have, they're born with eggs, they don't have this amniotic sac. And therefore, this oirv is one thing, but if there's a shelya, we suspect that there was a child, and she will have the halacha of tama, like we said in the halacha of HaMishnah. Then he asked him, but okay, so you're saying that the shilya is not from the oirv. But let's say they're connected. It's tied on, which generally that would seem to indicate that this afterbirth has to do with this oirv. So Malay, so Rebbe said to him, something that's not possible, you're asking. That's not possible. We're saying birds don't have, so although this woman somehow has this type of a creature coming out of her like a raven, but the afterbirth can't be attached to the raven, and therefore you're not asking a reasonable question. However, Eitz Rebbe Gemara asks on Rebbe's response to him from the following brisa. The brisa says, "I'm a pelis min behemachaya va'oif v'shal yimoyin." If a woman miscarries, someone looks like a domesticated animal, wild animal, or bird, and it has an afterbirth with it. So says the brisa as follows: "Bismancha shal yekishuri mohen," which this is clearly refuting what Rebbe had told him. If it's at a time that the afterbirth is tied on to these creatures, so then you're not concerned for any other child. So it's refuting Rebbe's response, and it's also answering the question. You're not concerned for another child. You say, even in the case of a bird, if the shili is attached to it, then we say, okay, that's what the shili is from. It's not from that there is another child. But if the afterbirth is not attached to them, then you do suspect for another child, because I'm going to impose upon them, as we continue to have of Chavzayin Manalv, Chaymer Shnei Vladis, the stringency of two children. Meaning to say, there's this creature, and then there's the afterbirth. So if this creature is male, so we're concerned, then maybe the afterbirth had a female, and therefore this woman's going to have the days of Tomantara stringently, like Zachar in the Keva. Now, as Rashi points out, but according to Rabban, that they say that if a woman miscarries a chayva oif, it's not even a child, there's no halacha of leida at all, what stringency is there going to be here with this child, besides for the shilya? So the stringency actually is that you could say that maybe there was no child, and maybe there is no dam of tahara, and that's actually a stringency. Because of the shilya, you're going to have stringently the days of tuma of maybe a girl of 2 weeks, of 14 days. But the stringency that we're saying of the mapelis is that we're not going to give any meitara, because maybe it's not a child at all. But says the Braisa, why am I going to give the stringency of two children? Because I say that Shema, maybe this child that was with the afterbirth, and the Mayich Shafir. So although we're only finding an afterbirth, but maybe the embryo got dissolved, Shal Shilya, of this afterbirth that we're finding. And maybe this embryo, this whatever it is, like it looks like this creature, maybe its afterbirth had dissolved. Where although we only see the child, maybe its afterbirth had already dissolved. And this afterbirth is not this child's afterbirth because it's not attached to it. So therefore he says, I could give two stringency as if it's two different children for whatever the computations is, according to Rebbe, according to Rabbanan. But although you're seeing one creature, like a behemah chai ba'if, and you have this shilya, I could say that the shilya had a child and that child got dissolved, and this behemah chai ba'if, it's a child and its shilya got dissolved, so it could be there was really two children, and there you have the stringency of both. But one thing you see is that even somebody has a species of a bird, that there is a halacha of, that it could be kashuro iman, it could be attached to it. So the Gemara Tiyufti, right? Obviously, a refutation of Rebbe, who said that you're not asking a question that's rational, because you see from the Braisa that there is such a possibility, and moreover, the Braisa actually answers the question and says that Bezman Shashir Kashurinman, even with a bird, with an Ayrim, the halacha would be in Chlech Nabla Nachar, you wouldn't be concerned for another child, you would say it's coming from that Min Behema Chayev Oif.